Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast, part of the Off the Ball Network. This is episode 186, dedicated to a man who on April 5th, 1987, won his seventh straight scoring title, Mr. Wayne Gretzky. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. On today's episode, we talk a little bit about Justin Fields and what people are saying, or few people are saying about him. Major League Baseball decided to pull their All-Star game from the city of Atlanta. And LeBron, when are you going to stop recruiting? We begin today's show talking about a decision that was made in between Jew Zhang hitting a game-tying layup and the ball being inbounded to Jalen Suggs right before Jalen Suggs hit a buzzer beater to send Gonzaga to the national championship game. And this decision is very, very huge, was very key, and I don't know if the outcome of that game is the same in that way if Mark Few does not call a timeout. Yes, Jalen Suggs, that shot that he made, we'll be talking about that for a very long time. I am a young man in my early 30s. At the time that Christian Laettner made that buzzer beater, hit that shot to in the Elite Eight in the regional championship, I was, 3 years old at the time? If I watched the game, I was not aware of what was going on, almost like, oh, I see it. I don't remember what I'm watching. You may have talked about Tyus Edney, or you may think about Bryce Drew. You may think about Chris Jenkins, and that one still hurts me, still pains me to this day. Kendall Marshall hits that three. Think North Carolina fans think everything is gravy. And all of a sudden, Villanova comes down, runs a play that North Carolina was like, oh, wait, we're going to back. No, how about you stop ball? Chris Jenkins rides up, cash money, game over. But this shot over the weekend, Jalen Suggs. Johnny Jew Zhang drives to the basket, misses the shot, gets his own rebound, which I think is key for how we watch a lot of basketball nowadays. Many guys, numerous guys, do not follow their own shot. Jew Zhang goes up, gets the rebound, puts the layup back in, 90-90 game tied. Now, I don't remember off the top of my head who took the ball out and inbounded the ball to Jalen Suggs, but all I remember was Mark Few had a split second to realize and to think, should I call a timeout with a game tied with 3.3 left in the game? Or should I not call a timeout and just let things go how they go? Because if worse comes to worse, you miss a shot, you go to overtime, you play another 5 minutes, and battle it out again to see who wins the game. If you do call a timeout, if you call a timeout, there's things that go positive or negative. If you don't call a timeout, you do things that are positive or negative. With the way that Gonzaga plays, with how good they are, with how sound mentally they are, disciplined on the offensive and defensive ends, it makes a lot of sense for Mark Few to not call a timeout. And in the moment, I was literally thinking, he didn't call a timeout. But the play was going so fast. You got Jew Zhang's layup, you got the ball inbounded. It was like maybe a second went by, bam, get the ball in. UCLA can't rush to get back on defense. Mick Cronin can't say a whole lot to his team because it's bang, over and over and over. It's quick. Things are going so fast. If your coach is yelling at you, you're probably way past him at that time. You may not have heard what he said. So Mark Few decided to not call a timeout. Jalen Suggs drives, crosses half court, rises up, game winner with a kiss. Off the backboard, I can't really say the Bill Raftery saying, but with the kiss, sounds a whole lot better with me saying it like that. And the rest is history. Jalen Suggs talked about how he had always wanted to jump on the table after hitting a game winner like Kobe or D. Wade. He got that moment in his life. Jalen Suggs, I do believe he is a lottery pick. I don't believe that shot is what propelled him to be that high of a draft prospect. He's already been good. He's been killing all year long. It would be amazing if he stayed, but it makes sense for him to leave college basketball after tonight's game. But Mark Few with that non-call with the timeout, or non-timeout call, that's something that's maybe a little bit really underrated, something that not many people are out here talking about. But imagine if Mark Few called a timeout, Gonzaga messes up, inbound pass, it's screwed up, UCLA steals the ball and they score, game over. UCLA's playing tonight against Baylor, not Gonzaga. the basketball fan in me is very happy we get the rematch. We get a game that was canceled earlier in the year between Gonzaga and Baylor. But let's give credit to Mark Few. As amazing as Jalen Suggs' shot was, equally as amazing is Mark Few not calling that timeout and letting his well-disciplined team just play the game that they've played all year and let the chips fall where they may, and they fell in Gonzaga's favor on Saturday night. Let's go ahead and take a trip to Columbus, Ohio, the home of the Ohio State Buckeyes. And guys, so many people are saying things about Justin Fields prior to his pro day, and especially after his pro day was completed. But first, check this out. Support for this podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. We have an exclusive offer for my listeners. 20% off plus free shipping with the code OTBN at manscaped.com. Once again, that is promo code OTBN, 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Well, we have reached a time during draft season that people are making off-the-wall statements about certain prospects. Negative statements, to be exact. The subject of this year's conversation, Justin Fields. The quarterback, two-year starter at Ohio State, made the playoffs both years, won back-to-back Big Ten championships, played in this last season's national championship game. People are saying the work ethic is bad. People are saying he's the last guy in, first guy out. That's his mentality while he has been a college football player. Well, I'm confused. Maybe you're confused. Maybe we're all confused. Because from what I have seen on the field from Justin Fields, the laziness that they're saying describes his behavior, I haven't seen it, and I doubt you have either. Justin Fields, the quarterback from Georgia, played football at Georgia, and lo and behold, he found himself to play at the Ohio State University. Transferred from Georgia, Georgia Kirby Smart said, hey, we're going to go all in on the guy by the name of Jake Fromm, who is now in the NFL. And I think people down there knew, and a lot of people around college football, and even some high school scouts that saw him, they were saying, Fields is better than Fromm. I mean, the Elite 11 camp, going back when Fields was in high school, the Elite 11 camp, the top two quarterbacks there at that camp, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. They're both going to be in the draft coming up very soon at the end of April. But once again, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. And it was kind of like a 1A, 1B situation. Many people said that Lawrence was one, two conversation. Many people believe that Lawrence was the better quarterback at the time. Many people believe that now. But at the same time, you look at Lawrence, you look at Fields even then, and now you're saying, these guys are good. Maybe the race isn't that they are head and shoulders, that Fields is head and shoulders above Fields. Maybe Fields is a whole lot closer than people will give him credit for. You look at the numbers from Fields, his first year to this year, he balled out every game. Yeah, he had some bad moments, but doesn't everybody have some games or some plays during those games that, well, don't really fit the billing of a number one overall draft pick? Well, he was never that number one overall draft pick, but he was a guy that is a starter at the Ohio State University. He is a guy that when you look at his play and look at his numbers, you're saying, y'all going to pick apart and say there's five or six plays over two seasons that he played bad? No, there are more than that, but just hear me out. Five or six plays over two seasons that he played bad, even if it's a larger amount, it's not like he had three or four or five bad games over 2 years. I believe he played 12, 13, 14 games his first year. I had to talk it out loud. Should have had it written down. But you guys are seeing how Jay's mind works. Sometimes while he's talking, he has to count things out loud to know what the correct number is. 12 regular season games, 13 is the conference championship game, and then 14 in his sophomore season, 14 would have been the playoff game against Clemson. And then this past year was, I believe, 8 games, 5 regular season, 1 conference championship game, playoff game against Clemson, a rematch, and then the Natty. So 14 games in 8 games. That is 22 games total that he has played as a college quarterback. You watched him play. I watched him play. I don't understand all of the negative talk about Justin Fields. I don't. Have I been critical about Fields and his play? Absolutely. If you have not checked out the podcast, go to Locked On Buckeyes. Maybe you might have to scroll a little bit. But check and see some of the things that Jay has said about Justin Fields. Because I have been very, very critical. And I have not shied away from being honest and sharing my honest opinion and analysis about his play. Even though Ohio State is my team, I do love the Ohio State Buckeyes or do really enjoy watching him play. I am not afraid to state how bad or how off somebody's game is during a particular game or a sequence of plays during a 60-minute football game. Fields is not the perfect quarterback, but he's way better than what a lot of people think. Fields is not the quarterback that you may think he was based off the accusations. Bad work ethic. Last guy in, first guy out. Do you really think a guy that was the last guy in, first guy out, if those were the words that described him, do you really think that guy would be the guy going around the world via interviews on TV shows and radio shows simply to try and get a football season reinstated? Once again, I never thought in my life that we would go through in a 12-month or 13-month or 14-month, really it's been about 15, 16 months that we have gone through with the Rona. I never thought in my life a college football season or a pro season or an NBA season would be halted, would be stopped, would be pushed back, suspended, any of that. Never thought that. And I'm sure Justin Fields thought the same thing. A guy that's lazy doesn't go the extra mile to try to get a football season reinstated. A guy that's lazy, when Justin Fields could easily have stayed down in Georgia and known the offense, awaited his turn, he did a tough thing, a very tough thing. Gone to a different home, a different college, new coach, new system, new climate, new school, new everything, new campus, and learned everything. Yes, we knock, and I'm not a fan of the transfer portal, but to me it was a decision for Fields that he made. And with Fields making that decision, it's very, very difficult, to learn a new system, to learn a new playbook, to learn the way that a new coach speaks when you have been with another coach for a very long time. And Fields going into Ohio State, if he was lazy, if he was the last guy in, first guy out, you don't believe he would have started his collegiate career at Ohio State the way that he did. I mean, you would have thought that he would have had 2 or 3 losses in the regular season, his first year at Ohio State. Yes, I know about the plethora of talent at Ohio State, but let's just be honest now. If you're going to say he's lazy, and that's your knock on him, and your only knock, and say that he's the last guy in, first guy out, and that's your only knock, I think you're missing the point. There have been people, myself included, that believe that Justin Fields at times holds the ball too long. Not at times, he does at times hold the ball too long. And by doing so, he may still throw the touchdown pass, he may still get the first down, or he may still move the chains. At the same time, that's one of the major knocks on Justin Fields. People say he can't process, he can't read defenses. Okay, there are times maybe that is the case. But one of the main knocks to me with Justin Fields is his ability or inability at times to get the ball out on time. That's it. That's one of the major ones. Take that out of the picture, and if he gets the ball out on time, you would have a big argument about who QB1 is during this year's draft. Because as good as Trevor Lawrence has been as a starting quarterback, as a quarterback at Clemson, right behind him and at times playing better than him, and honestly, if you want to look at it, maybe Lawrence was outplayed by Fields in one of the two matchups when they played. I know he was, maybe both of them. You assessed it. I don't want to be the guy to tell you what to believe. You assess it. You're smart. Go look at the game. Go remember what you watched and tell me who was the better quarterback when Lawrence and Fields were on the offensive sides conducting and orchestrating two separate offenses during the playoffs in back-to-back years. You can say one game. You can say two games. Go back and look at it. Let me know what it is. Hit me up on Twitter at jsteven07. You tell me who the better quarterback was when those two guys were on the field at separate times. The knock against Fields, work ethic. last guy in, first guy out. I was really happy when Justin Fields transferred to Ohio State. Didn't know much about the young man, but what I grew to understand and enjoy about him as a competitor, he keeps going at it. He keeps working, and he doesn't stop. So I didn't like the whole way that it was put out there that Fields was these couple of things that people are saying these things about him. Not so much the messenger. I'm not knocking Orlovsky. More so the people that are filtering things to Orlovsky, maybe because they think that Dan Orlovsky is going to be the one, it's going to be the tool or the puppet to relay this message on national TV. And that's, or national radio. And that's exactly what happened. Orlovsky's young in the media. I myself am young in the media. Have I made mistakes in the media as far as things that I have said while on a show or this show or different podcast that I host? I'm sure that I have. Am I better for noticing my mistakes and moving past it? Absolutely. No questions asked. And Orlovsky will learn from this. But those adults that remain anonymous, that are saying these things about these young men, you better make sure you're accurate. Better make sure what you're saying is spot on. Because if you're wrong, you have guys like Ryan Day or other coaches around college football that are with the young men that you're attacking every single day. Maybe not person to person and right next to each other, but the phone, but they are communicating. They have communication and they are assisting these young men, not just to be really good college football players, but to be really good young men as well. Justin Fields could have gone on TV and said, we won a football season. He could have spoken like he was not smart, not intelligent. He went on there, said what he needed to say, what he should have said, kept all the other stuff out of the conversation. And you could tell, one, he was determined to attempt to get a football season reinstated. And two, he was a well-spoken young man. Know what else that he does very good as a young man? Play football. Play football. To me, Justin Fields, QB2, going into the offseason, before this past season started, I had heard QB2 or QB3. Now to hear possibly QB5, that's crazy. And I heard that before people were attacking this man's work ethic. And now I think people might be reassessing what they say about Justin Fields and how they evaluate Justin Fields. Because if Fields goes QB5, some team out there is going to get a really good quarterback. One of the things, or the events, that is normally appointment television for numerous sports fans in America of a particular professional league is that league's All-Star Game and the showcase of skills that surround that game. The NHL has their Skills Challenge and their All-Star Game as well. NBA, NFL, and Major League Baseball all have some sort of skills challenge that goes on right before the All-Star Game is played. Well, this year's Major League Baseball All-Star Game was supposed to be played in Atlanta, Georgia, for the first time, might I add, and I believe 20 years. Major League Baseball Home Run Derby on a Monday, the All-Star Game there on a Tuesday, and it's normally, generally, around the same time in July. I think it's the second or third week in July, about the second week in July, and how can I look at my calendar and know when it's played? It is because when I was a youngster, mainly in high school, I used to go to church camp. Well, I went to church camp most of my life, but this particular church camp that I went to was always the second week in July. The church went during that week, and I would have to miss the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game. The Home Run Derby would get most of my time, but however, I wanted to watch a portion of the All-Star Game because that was back when I watched baseball way more than I do now. I didn't watch baseball, say, every single night, but if the Cubs were playing, I was watching some portion or trying to watch as much of the game as I could. Of course, you had school. I had work. I had sports at school. I mean, I was a busy person, but I did try my best. Did try my absolute best to watch Cubs baseball games as a kid. In Major League Baseball, I missed the Home Run Derby. I missed the All-Star Game numerous times. I remember the Home Run Derby. My love for the Home Run Derby happened. That started when I was a youngster. When I was about 8, 9, 10 years old. You'll remember these names. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Ken Griffey Jr. All of these young men were out there hitting long balls, hitting home runs all of the time. And this phrase, this next phrase that I'm going to say, was made very famous during this time. Chicks dig the long ball. And man, let me tell you, I had a lot of fun watching them play baseball and hit home runs all the time. I couldn't do it. Baseball's not my sport. If I've not told you here on the podcast before, I'll tell you right now, baseball's not my sport. I played a few years, was not that good, and got out quick, fast, and in a hurry because I realized at an early age, very quickly, this sport ain't for me. Major League Baseball pulling their game from Atlanta, to me, seems a little hypocritical. I am not going to go into great detail, not actually not at all, and tell you and dissect the bill that is what was the reason that Major League Baseball pulled their All-Star game from Atlanta. I'm not doing that. I'm not dissecting that. That's for a podcast for another day. But the reason why I say it is very hypocritical, because Major League Baseball still has a team there in Atlanta. The Braves have not gone anywhere. The Braves have not left Georgia, left Atlanta. They haven't left anything. The Braves are still right there in the same place, in the same stadium that the All-Star game was going to be hosted in, if we're going to be still in Atlanta. Very hypocritical to me that that's the case, and that's the way that Major League Baseball wants to do things. We don't like the bill. We don't like the way that the message we believe you are sending to people in your state and people around the country. Might I add, I've also heard, not fact-checked this, so I'm not saying this is gospel or not, but I have heard through somebody told me, and it's really a good source of people, someone that relayed this message to me, that Georgia's voting bill is not the harshest one in America. It's not. It's just the most recent one when things were controversial during the presidency, during the election, and this is how Georgia has changed things. I also don't think it's a bad thing to require NID to vote. I'll leave it at that. Major League Baseball. I'm confused. Very confused. I mean, I understand you're in the business of making money. I understand that you may not agree with what is going on there. But just like the NBA, when they pulled their All-Star game from Charlotte, there was still a team there. So you're still fine taking money from that state, from those people that live in that state, from the teams that will travel all from all around the country that are NBA teams to play then the Charlotte Hornets, maybe Bobcats at the time. I know it's the Hornets now. But you don't want the All-Star game to be played there. Very, very confusing. Imagine if someone was asking you about something and you said, no, I don't want to go to that particular place or I don't want to have that event there, but you still have other things and other people in that area that are doing things for you and helping you make money. Does it really make sense to you to do that? I'm confused, Major League Baseball. NBA, I was not having a podcast at that time. I probably would have said the same thing about you and that decision to pull the All-Star game from Charlotte over a bathroom bill. Right now, Major League Baseball, all eyes are on you. I get it. You don't like the bill that Georgia has put into place. Okay, I understand that. And those that are in charge, they have the right to agree or disagree with the decision that has been put in place. But it's very odd. No All-Star game. Okay, cool. You don't want to help the people there and help the business owners and have the celebration there. I get it. Okay, that's your right. But it's also your right to still take money from them? Hypocritical. Crazy. Odd. And I'll leave it at that. Something else that is crazy, odd, unexpected, when this person first came into the league, the NBA that is, it's LeBron James. One of the craziest talents that I've ever witnessed in my lifetime. Michael Jordan was my guy. Kobe Bryant, my favorite player of all time. Kevin Durant, amazing. Kevin Garnett, amazing. Tim Duncan, amazing. James Harden, good. Dwayne Wade, good. Reggie Miller, grew up watching that man play basketball all the time. LeBron James, one of the most special talents we'll probably ever see during any time when anybody is playing basketball. Now, I'm going to say most because there'll probably be somebody that comes around that's more skilled than LeBron James. Just saying. It's happening. People are evolving. People are training in ways they've never trained before. And I don't want to say something will never, ever happen. So, here we are. LeBron James, one of the best players in the NBA right now. And at the same time, around the All-Star break, hold this. We just talked about an All-Star game just previously. This year during the NBA All-Star game where LeBron said he'll physically be there, but emotionally he will not, or mentally. I forget the exact quote, but it was more of a physical be there. Mentally and emotionally, I will not, because he didn't think it was right to have an All-Star game right now. Thought it was hypocritical. Thought they were sending a double message for the players to have an All-Star game right now when the league was basically saying, we don't want y'all around anybody. We'll go to a different city. We'll make a game. We'll add a game to your schedule, and so be it. Okay, that's LeBron. That's how he felt. But LeBron James during the NBA All-Star game, this recently came out via a podcast, an ESPN podcast, where someone was talking about what LeBron James was doing during the All-Star break, All-Star game. Recruiting yet another player. Now, you may look at the Brooklyn Nets. You may say, Jay, well, Brooklyn, they got KD, they got Kyrie, they got James Harden during the season. They just got Blake Griffin, who hadn't played well in Detroit at all. So I don't think anybody expected him to actually show up and attempt to play right now. Then you also add, I believe, LaMarcus Aldridge. LaMarcus Aldridge, 35 years old, hasn't been the player that he was, hasn't been the same player. It's been like 5 years that he's been on this downward slope. So I get it. I like LaMarcus Aldridge. I like him as a player. But I don't think that acquisition now is what everybody thinks it is, or some people think it is, when you hear the name LaMarcus Aldridge right there on the same team as KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. But on the other side of the country, you got LeBron James, and LeBron is currently injured. AD is injured. Neither were injured at the All-Star break. And LeBron was trying to get another player, because many people around the NBA have said, not me personally, but have said, you have no AD, no LeBron, no championship. Well, that's the same thing if you're the Lakers in the early 2000s. If you take Shaq off, if you take Kobe off, no championship. None. Not at all. Yeah, it's not something crazy to say. Okay, here's another one. Didn't win a championship. Take Allen Iverson off of the early 2076ers. Iverson got to the 0-1 finals. If Iverson's not on that team, they don't go that deep. They don't have a deep playoff run. They don't get in the finals, and they don't win a finals game if they happen to get there. You take Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, KD off of those Warriors teams, they ain't winning no championship when KD was there. You take Steph Curry, Klay Thompson off of those Warriors teams early on, they're not winning a championship. So I'm not saying that's crazy. I find it, yeah, it makes sense. Why? Because if you take the best two players off any team, yeah, it's going to be hard to win just about anything. We saw it last year with the Warriors. They're playing better this year, but they still need one more star. I don't think Draymond Green, what we're seeing, he's not that star to make them above a 500 team. Well, LeBron, I mentioned Steph for a reason. LeBron, during the All-Star break, was recruiting the guy by the name of Wardell Stephen Curry. He likes to go by Steph, not even Stephen. Say Steph, but I like to go by real names. If you listen to Locked On Buckeyes, I make different comments and nicknames for players all the time. Dwayne Washington Jr., those who are college basketball fans, you would have watched him play during the Big Ten Conference Tournament. Didn't do so much during the NC2A tournament because they got bounced in the first round. Even latter part of the regular season, Dwayne Washington Jr., I called him Junior all the time. Well, Wardell was recruited by LeBron. Heavy. Hard. LeBron, don't you think at some point this whole Monstars mentality that has been shaping you as an athlete, is it okay to compete in that mentality not be what describes you as an athlete or your career? No one's going to knock how good of an athlete you are, or good of a basketball player you are, or how you spend so much money, and the money you spend on your body helps you stay in tip-top shape. No one's going to deny that. But at what point do athletes want to compete? I get it. In pickup games, yes, you're going to have your five. You're going to shoot for captains, first captain, second captain. Then you're going to draft one, two, three, four, five. 5-on-5, and that's it. And then you might get a couple guys, a couple stragglers come in. Okay, cool. You got 11, 12, 13. They got next. Well, what do they get to do? They get to pick the next players. I remember when I used to play pickup games all the time, and there would be times that it would be 5-on-5, and there would be no extra players. You're playing every single game. There would be times I have lost the team I was on. Sometimes I won a lot. Sometimes I lost a lot. you end up wanting to run it back after losing three in a row because it's the pride thing. It's a competition thing. It's a thing that, man, I know that they beat me three times in a row, but we can beat them. We know how to stop them. And lo and behold, sometimes it doesn't happen, but sometimes you do end up finding ways to beat that team that beat you over and over and over. If you realign teams, if teams were repicked and you didn't get that chance to compete at that time, maybe you found something in yourself that you didn't know you had because you decided to play a team that had beaten you three times in a row. And LeBron, I get it. You want three stars. You want to do that. But I do believe you and AD this year, if both were healthy, would have a really good shot of winning the NBA championship. Yes, the Jazz are good, and there are other teams out there in the NBA that are really good as well. But this idea, this thought process, this movement to compete, man, make it stop. Make it stop. It's not illegal to compete. Competing isn't a bad thing. Some people might think that it is, but for so many years, competing against the best has what made and propelled people of certain people's all-time chart, all-time player charts, because they weren't afraid to compete. Competition, it's not bad. It's what we grow to love and enjoy when we watch sports on a regular basis. Some of the lowest rated finals were blowouts. Remember the Warriors teams playing the Cavs when it surely seemed like, well, the Cavs were going to roll over them? How many of those games did you closely pay attention to? Probably not many. Maybe some, maybe y'all, maybe not many at all. Not as much as you normally would. Why? Because the competition wasn't as high as you would like for it to be. Competition in sports. It's not illegal. It's part of the reason we enjoy watching sports on a regular basis. Thank you guys so much for listening and enjoying another episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You can also send all of your emails to jstevens317@gmail.com. Remember to always subscribe, rate, and review. It's a great way for people that are searching for a new podcast to listen to come across this one. Then remember to always get the word out about the podcast via word of mouth, the things that we enjoy in life. We are almost willing and somewhat wired to tell other people about. So no matter if this was your first episode or if you have been listening since episode number one, be sure to let people know about the podcast. This has been episode 186 of the Jay Stevens Podcast. I will see you next time.